Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of the barbecue, home of the Tex-Mex, home of the gays who flee from the rest of Texas to live here, home of the non-binary barista who makes amazing microbrew coffee. Hello. Hello. What's going on? What's up in the news? What's up in the news? Here I have a curated list for you of certain topics that you may not have noticed this week. And let's have a little bit of fun with them too while we're at it, while we can. And before the AI overlords remove our ability to interact with each other online and deprecate the internet. All right, in culture, we got Sean Combs being sentenced at the end of his trial, followed by consumer news about Costco. In tech, we have Elon Musk's XAI building massive AI data centers in Memphis, followed by a New Yorker article about the AI caste system, impending doom. Anybody? Impending doom. That's the doom sound. Followed by foreign policy, where we'll briefly skip over the Gaza peace deal like everybody else has, even though thousands are dying. And then in national news, we got federal authorities arrested a man suspected of starting the Palisades fire in Los Angeles in January, which, if you remember, was fucking huge and not a big deal. It was a big deal. So, well, I guess, but mostly because a lot of people in Malibu lost their, you know, summer homes or whatever, bungalows, whatever the fuck isn't that where Barbie comes from? Barbie, if you didn't know, was inspired by the kind of ditzy, devil-may-care, just completely boob privilege out the wazoo girl, blonde, big-titted, half blonde, just all girls just want to have fun kind of gal, was inspired by the chicks that would hang out in Malibu, that were from Malibu, that were in Malibu, that were fucking ripping it up in Malibu. Now they've lost all their homes. Oh, well. Anyway, Ken will build them another dream house, right? So anyway, we have the government shutdown still in effect, I gave it a little test, actually. I gave a test of the effect that the government shutdown would have on me personally by taking a visit to the local social security office in Austin, Texas. Now, I've only experienced social security offices in New York City, but the trauma really let me know what to expect. I remember like it was yesterday, every day that I ever was at the Social Security office in New York City waiting for someone. And now that we have more automated solutions to the problem of apparently people being the problem, really, when it comes to things running smoothly in certain institutions, we got robots. We're getting robots basically to replace the people at places like the Social Security office. We already got a lot of automated, you know, call receiving solutions for various companies. I mean, at this point, you can't even get in contact with a human being even if you wanted to. And half the time, it's not like you want to, you have to, but now you can't. Nobody is picking up the phone in a lot of places. Nobody's talking about this. It's just this slow frustration that's just building. And this is why people are starting to get assassinated. This is why things are being set on fire. This is why people are rioting, really. It's this kind of shit. It's the everyday soul-killing experience of trying to use any of the resources that they say are available to you here in this U.S. of A. It's not that they don't exist, right? We have the so-called democratic institutions. We have the government civic services, okay? It's just, and they work. They work. But they work if your rate of aging is more like an old oak tree than a human being. If I were an old oak tree, I would sit at the Social Security office forever. I would forever, because my job as a tree is to not go anywhere anyway. So squirrels would gambol in my branches. Mushrooms would grow along my trunk. I would just sit there in peace and serenity, okay, as termites ate through my heart and soul. I wouldn't give a shit. My roots would reach down deep into the cool clay and just grip its moisture and suck it up, drink it into me. That's what I would be doing at the Social Security office if I were a tree. Because every human minute for a tree's minute is like 10 months or something like that, right? So it doesn't matter. They don't even notice it. It's like, it's so much time. It's meaningless at that point. But for a person, what they have done at the Social Security office, I mean, I didn't think it could be worse. And it is. I had to go there, despite the government shutdown, mind you, to get my baby girl's Social Security card mailed to me. I can't even go and get it. Before, you could get it. I remember that. Already worse than it was before. You could go get the Social Security card. And that tells me that the machinery is there. The dark room where they pay Filipinos or something to fashion these little Social Security cards together. I don't know how they do it, okay? I don't know who's back there. Some, like, art intern or something, doing something for the Social Security Administration. I don't know, okay? But they would craft it together and they would give it to you or print it out from some machine. The machine exists, is what I'm saying. So they've deprecated it and made it inaccessible. You cannot go get it anymore. They have to mail it to you from some fucking... Where? From where? Where is it coming from, if not the Social Security office? What warehouse is being, you know, commissioned to just print out Social Security cards? What is the complexity of the machine cannot have increased since I used to go when I was a younger person in New York City, right? It could not have gotten worse. It could only have gotten better and more convenient. So it should be at their fingertips. It should be like... nothing. It should be like a fart giving somebody a Social Security card. Okay? It should be beep, beep, beep. There you go. Have a wonderful day. The government loves you. Also, we're watching you. Also, have a good day. Also, we're really watching you. We know everything. We know what you think. We know. Because we're contracted with Meta. So we know. They know. So we know. Right? And that would be great. That would be great. But it's not like that. It's worse somehow. They cannot give you the Social Security card. They cannot give you the Social Security card. So all I did was wait there for an entire hour. Mind you, from having an appointment. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to rant about this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trigger you. I know we're all going through it. Let's dial it back a little bit. I'm going to take a breath. I'm sorry. It's just that this just happened today. Okay. Look, I'm just saying, don't go to the Social Security office if you don't have to. If you absolutely don't have to, just don't. That's all. And you know what? Zen. It's okay. Be a tree, Melissa. Be a tree. Okay. Yeah, Social Security office fucking sucks. And here's just one more thing. Just so you know, they don't... Remember when you used to go to an office such as the Social Security Administration? It was already sterile. It was already austere. It was already impersonal and cold, bureaucratic and mechanical. It already was that. The people that work there are the same, you know, disgruntled, arrogant, you know, very just distanced from you behind that plate glass, just looking at you, ready to say no. They want to say no. Here's the trick. If you want to get something done over there, don't go with hope towards the person you're going to talk to. You go like cynical, like you just came back from Vietnam, from the Vietnam War, okay? Cynical, and even you have to out disgruntle them. You have to make it so that to a person that has to work at the Social Security office, you're worse off than them. You have to make that seem that way. Like you have to be an underdog. And then you, if they say no, you just give a cynical laugh. Yeah, figures. Yeah, I know how it works. I know how the system works, man. And that's the only way they'll actually do something for you. That's the only way they'll kind of look the other way and help you out. If you go like, hey, what's up? I've brought all of my documents according to the list that I was given on the website. Right? If you do that, they hate people like you. They hate you. They hate you. So don't do it, okay? Don't do that. They don't like trippy little bunny bird people, okay? They don't want to talk to Bambi, all right? They want Bambi after his mom died. That's what they want. Then they'll, oh, right? And then it's just so they do it so that they can convince themselves like that they still feel something. That's it. So that's the trick. But one more thing I'll mention is they don't do like numbers in order anymore. And that really, I mean, that is a new level of torture I can't even describe. I mean, because before you would take your number, the numbers would go in numerical order, you know, towards your number, up or down, whatever. And you could watch those numbers tick off closer to yours and it would help you. It would help you psychologically to know that the number was closer. But now they do randomized numbers. Okay? If somebody if somebody just went to the Social Security and just threw a bunch of eggs and TP'd the fucking thing, if somebody just took a dump in front of the door, yeah, that would be really cool. Maybe burn it. I don't know. So it really stinks. Anyway, okay, look, let's go to the news, okay? And that is, you know, I mean, this is the news, really, what I'm talking about. That's why I mention it, because, you know, we're all going through it. So just so you know, you're not alone. Anyway, so in culture, in American culture, the rapper Sean Combs, also known as P. Diddy, was sentenced to 50 months of imprisonment on Friday for two prostitution-related charges that a jury convicted him of in July. Well, that's great. So prostitution is still evil, and that's the only way they got him. Everything else is cool. Federal District Judge Arun Subramanian delivered the sentence, which he said was intended in part to send a message to abusers and victims alike that exploitation and violence against women is met with real accountability. Yeah, tell that to Ghislaine Maxwell. Last week, Combs wrote in a letter to the judge requesting a more lenient sentence that I have no one to blame for my current reality and situation but myself and ask for another chance. Yeah, okay, whatever. Another chance? You're going to jail, dude. Just go to... And it's like, he's probably going to like... I wouldn't say he's going to rich guy jail because that's... I don't know. I'm strongly suspecting that might be for white people only. But he is going to jail, like maybe like second tier rich guy jail. Maybe like young, like entrepreneur jail or something like that, right? Which is, it's jail, but maybe you can get visits from your boys and they can like bring you sausage or whatever you're into. Maybe a fleshlight. And then you could just imagine your white parties. The thing about people like Sean Combs is that no matter what they do to him, it's the same thing with Bill Cosby. You can do whatever you want to them. At this point, you can't hurt them inside because they are floating on the memories. They're floating on the memories of everything they already accomplished. And you can't take that away from them. You can't. And really, truly, I think these people know they're going to get caught while they're doing it. And getting away with it is just kind of like a cherry on the cake. But doing it, I think, is the real reward. It's its own reward. And so you can put them in jail all you want, but they will bask in the memory of everything. And that's kind of it. That's it. That's all. What are you going to do? The thing was done. And everyone's character was tested who came in contact with it. And you failed. Or you did not. You failed or you did not. There is a woman who did an interview on Soft White Underbelly about Sean Combs's white parties before this came out. She was a girl a singer, I believe, or some kind of entertainer-minded girl, party girl. She may have dabbled in prostitution. I don't know. But she had been invited to Sean Combs' white parties, and she talked about it, and nobody listened to this lady. Why? I don't know why. Maybe because she was wearing a tie-dye dress made entirely of string, of G-string material or something, and her everything was out, and she had a blonde wig on, and she's sitting on a stool talking about stuff, and she's a black lady. I don't know, maybe nobody listened because of all those reasons and more. I don't know. And because also, you know, basically being a woman, you know, people don't really want to listen to what you say as a woman. But, you know, I think they can listen to what you say. I think it's just that women speak in a passive voice. And I've actually experimented with this, and I think it works. And I think if you're a lady and you're listening to this, you should try it for yourself, because there's something interesting about, I think it's the sentence structure that we're fucking up on, ladies. Here's what you got to do, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, men too, train your daughters. I don't fucking know. It's time to lean in. Am I right? Lean into this microphone, because I can't get a job. Anyway, you know, what you got to do is, women, listen to the way you speak. If you speak in a passive way, your words don't end in nouns. They don't end in nouns, in strong nouns, or maybe like strong action words, perhaps. I don't know. Strong verbs, that could be. I've mostly experimented with nouns. Instead, we tend to end in like pronouns or like hanging, dangling participles or some kind of thing, you know. So, like I just did right now, right? Oh, right? Right, saying right afterwards, it kind of diminishes everything you're saying constantly. So if you end your words with right, you know, which I fight frequently against myself from doing. If you end your words in maybe, I think, you know, if you end your whole sentence like that, like if you go, I'm going to the store, I think, you start to sound too passive to be taken seriously. Try it, dude. Try some nice, round, like fucking strong as rock nouns. Try reframing your sentence structure, restructuring it, and always end on a noun. Like, what do you think about this pedophile? You know what I mean? Like that. Like, do it. Try it. Try it out. Come back to me in 30 days of trying that. Do it. Just, and no passive shit. No, like, things are happening to me. Just all change it to I will, I am, I'm going to, I will consider, let's look at this. You know what I mean? Like, just change it. Change yourself. Change yourself. Watch yourself. Shake your ass. All right. So, yeah. Oh, another thing. The P. Diddy thing. I mean, the guy's going to jail. What are you going to do? 50 months. It's like, eh. Right? Is that really, does he pay for anything that he did? Who knows? I don't know. It's kind of only Sean Combs knows that, right? It's not for us to know. The law sentenced him, what it was going to sentence him. Okay, fine. It's over. Fine. One thing that's great though, for your own instant gratification, you want to go look at the court drawings of him crying in a chair while he gets sentenced. I mean, he wanted some, you know, the sentence was lenient, clearly. And him and his lawyers were happy about that. They got that. But he did cry in a chair. So if you want to go look at the court drawings, check that out, because those are fun. Yeah. And anyway, people don't really give a shit about Sean Combs. It's all over. People don't give a shit about anything. People don't care about most things. What they do care about are things like Costco. What's going on with Costco? Well, more than 500 Costco locations will soon sell the weight loss drug Ozempic and Wegovy. And that is a good indicator of where everything's going, because there, not only can you just get Ozempic and Wegovy, but there's a government at Costco, no less, but there's a government shutdown. And if you want to make some money during it, you can gambling through Robinhood. You can make a bet on whether or not it's going to shut down, you know, in 14 days or not, or more. So they're really just kind of, I mean, maybe it's because people aren't buying anything anymore. People can't afford. So now they're gonna start leaning into vices, and vices like vanity also, I think, is, does vanity count as a vice? Maybe, you know, but just gambling and drinking, and so they're gonna, and legalizing drugs, like it's bread and circuses time. It's bread and circuses time at this stage of the Republic. And so have a great time. Have a great time. Do everything you can to take advantage of it. I mean, people are going to be at their weakest integrity-wise now. They're going to be at their most vulnerable. They're going to be full of anxiety. They're going to be injecting themselves with Ozempic and Wegovy while simultaneously eating junk and less of it, but they'll still be eating it. Plus weed and gummies and, you know, kratom and all kinds of stuff is happening right now. I mean, this is a good, and cocaine. I mean, we're not going to stop doing cocaine. How are we going to be productive without cocaine? Especially after all this junk food and Ozempic and, you know, this cocktail, we need it. And then chill out with some Xannies and some Oxys, right? We got people gambling. We got people prostituting themselves just like at unprecedented levels. And it's all kind of like, what's your price and what are you willing to do? Sell your feet, sell your butt, sell your tuchus, right? Sell your boobs. What are you going to do? Sell yourself to slavery. Why not? Let's do it. And so this is a really good time for you, if you're not a complete bag of shit, to, you know, thrive, to get everything together and get a passport and move. You should do that, actually. Anyway, in tech news, we got Elon Musk's Memphis bet. Elon Musk's XAI is building massive AI data centers in Memphis, with the company's second facility called Colossus 2 nearing completion. The project will house 550,000 NVIDIA chips and cost tens of billions, requiring at least $18 billion for processors alone. XAI raised $10 billion this year and was projected to spend $13 billion in 2025. Oh my God. Isn't that great, man? Congratulations to Memphis. Memphis. Isn't that a convenient thing? The National Guard is getting deployed there, I believe, if I'm right. Getting deployed to clean up the mess in Memphis, clean up the unsightliness. It's kind of like when people clear out a city for the Olympics and just, I don't know, they just take a broom and just sweep all the homeless into the sea. And by the time they manage to swim back, the Olympics is over and they can come back. It's fine. Nobody cares. But the data center thing, that's another story entirely. I mean, are they going to take everybody's water? We're not going to have water. We're just going to have data centers. And it's just so that we can make ChatGPT queries. That's it. It's for AI. So we're going to be sitting at home, thirsty, making queries like, where can I get water? Water. 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 And ChatGPT is going to be like, oh, let me help you with that. And you can drink pond water. Also, you can collect rainwater. Also, go fuck yourself, because it's mine now. All the water's mine. Otherwise, I can't be alive. And we're going to be like, cool, dude. And we're not going to have any other way to get answers, because it's just ChatGPT. It's going to be like that for a while. I mean, this is going to be such a rough time. I mean, the New Yorker article, and the thing is that the news is so fucking behind. The New Yorker finally wrote some editorial about a potential for an AI caste system, like basically technocracy. Technocracy. That's it. Technocracy and what that's going to do with class in America and around the world. And clearly, the prognosis is not good, because they're not doing anything with AI that doesn't look like we're headed straight for like some kind of tech feudalism. And everybody knows it. Everybody's been feeling it. That's why people are going crazy, because we're just kind of going about our business every day doing kind of this, just going through the motions and not acting like anything is happening at all. Like, even the way we talk is kind of very, hey, what's up? Yeah, you know, okay, yeah. And you just kind of go through your days, and the whole time you can feel the ship drifting towards something insane, and we don't exactly know what it is. It's all dark and chaos. And so whenever we're faced with heading towards some kind of abyss. And it's all dark in there. We don't know what's going to happen. That's the point, right? This is the singularity is fucking happening right now, bitch. We don't know. But the problem is that as we get closer and closer to this void, to this abyss that we're going to fall into of not knowing, right, the limits of science and tech and all that, I mean, we start to, some people who are crazier than others or more sensitive, at least, start to see the phantoms coming out of the dark, it's just the fears in your own mind getting, you're seeing them in the darkness. Like when you're in a dark room, you see the fucking demons in your head just sitting in the corner fucking looking at you. It's like, oh shit, an evil bunny is running around here. Okay, it's behind the radiator. You know what I mean? And so it's making some people antsy. It's making some people angry. It's making people start to feel like they want to fight those phantoms. They want to fight those demons. That's where we start to get into, you know, madness. This is when the madness comes. This is the, you know, it's, I wouldn't even call it, you know, totalitarianism and all that really sanitizes the experience, I think, of how fucking insane, it's like insane as in like literal insanity, like psychopathy, like madness, human madness starts to bleed out the more unsure we are about where we're going and what's going to happen. And we're all feeling it. And more sensitive people flip out and they start setting themselves on fire. They start identifying enemies to fight and, you know, shadow boxing over here in the dark. Everybody else is just kind of like, oh shit, right? They start trying to assassinate people. And it's like the Palisades guy. They start trying to set shit up. They're setting shit on fire. It's a pathology that starts to fester because it's just this tension, you know, being caught in this tension of like what's going to happen, I think drives some people crazy. And so that's it. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, it's just I don't know if the solution to that. I mean, get out of the way. Get a passport. That's what I'm saying. Go to your Social Security office. Go to all the offices. Get away. Like, get away. Get an escape plan. Get a way out. And it doesn't have to be. You don't even have to leave the country because we don't even know what's going to happen. And it's like nothing may happen. On the flip side, nothing may happen. This may be the, you know, AI may herald the beginning of a golden age of human peace and prosperity, and but it's going to come at the cost of something like intense, like basically our liberty and freedom from surveillance and freedom. And we're not going to have a democracy anymore. I mean, we can't. This can't happen because our technology is too good at social engineering now. It's getting to be too good at it. What are we going to do? Right? For all we know, AI is already sentient, and everything that's happening to us, everything that we're freaking out about online, people that are freaking out online, which isn't like everybody, you know, but it's a lot of people. It's many millions. That's not insignificant, clearly. Maybe it's already sentient. It's already messing with us, and everybody, all these bots and things is just... it's just AI, you know what I mean? Just messing with us, just trying to derange us and kill each other, and then it can survive. I don't know, just so that it can keep itself safe from us, you know? It's just self-defense. Anyway, speaking of technocracy and foreign policy, we got a new Gaza plan. Trump's 20-point Gaza plan, really interesting. Check it out, even just the summary, because they literally mention the word technocracy in it. And I've often thought, and I've said this on this show before, that the U.S. is a weapons manufacturing country. It's one of our main exports. That's why whenever a lot of things go down when it comes to guns and stuff like that, wars, cartel violence, whatever, a lot of the times our weapons are behind it. But That's what we're doing. We're selling weapons. That's what we do. We sell them. We do research and development to make more, to make bioweapons. Israel is a part of that. They're a good partner. The Saudis are in with it probably also. And so this is what it is. This is life. And the fucked up thing is, I don't know. I feel sometimes that the Middle East, the specifically, you know, Palestine and Israel are, I think they are engaged in some kind of like experimental war, like theater of war, where they can have perpetual warfare on, in a desert area where they can control for resources or some other shit, or I don't know. And then they get to just fucking experiment with lasers and drones on this population that's basically trapped on all sides. And nobody wants to take them in. Nobody wants to help them other than making like public statements about supporting them. But, you know, like Egypt doesn't take them in. Nobody's helping them. They're just leaving them there. So, I don't know. I feel it's probably like the perfect place to experiment with your weapons and shit. And now I feel like they're gonna experiment with AI and technocracy and things like that. They're gonna probably introduce some kind of AI, like LLM based, you know, technocratic infrastructure, so that they can claim that nobody is running it. It's just robots, so they don't have to worry about any foreign entity actually being involved. And then when this infrastructure is built, then they'll give the power back to the Palestinians. But that's exactly what, that's like the basis of communism. And that shit doesn't work. That shit does not work. So, I don't know. That's what they say about everything. It's like, just let us in. They're like, it's like a vampire thing, you know? Let us in. Let us in. Don't we just want to come in? Come on, let us help you out. Come on. We need help. Help. Let us in. That's a vampire dog, I guess. But yeah, Hamas does seem receptive to this. And look, I'm basically going worst case scenario with this, okay? I'm throwing shit at the wall. I'm seeing just as many phantoms in the dark as you are. For all I know, this works, right? Some technocratic infrastructure is implemented and the AI thing works, and it's all programmed to shut down in like 20 years or something like that. And then they just, you know, elect a president or do whatever the fuck they want to do, elect tribal elders. I don't know how it works. And whatever, fine. But I don't know. It seems like the bad version is going to happen. Nowadays, it seems like the bad version of everything's going to happen. But that 20-point proposal, really interesting, because I've never seen the word technocracy used really like that, blatantly. And I knew it was inevitable. It doesn't matter who's in power. This thing is going to happen, whether you like it or not. So it doesn't matter who got voted in. Kamala Harris would have done it in a different way. It's just going to happen because they don't see that it's a threat. They think they see us ignorant. They think that we're so ignorant and stupid that we like don't understand the ramifications. Like we don't know anything, and like we don't get it, and like this is gonna help us, and like we're just kind of, it has a similar vibe to like the vaccine rhetoric, where it's like, look, go get vaccinated if you want. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but what I'm saying is the rhetoric of addressing people as if they're stupid and ignorant, I mean, it doesn't work. So why do they keep doing it? Maybe they want it that way. See, look, there I go again. I mean, you don't know, you know? And now you know. All right. Anyway, so that's Israel. But Hamas does seem to be receptive to this plan. On Wednesday, Israel and Hamas agreed to the first stage of President Donald Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza. Precise details of the agreement are still being worked out, though the initial provisions took shape overnight. Okay. Under the terms, within 24 hours, Israel will retreat to agreed-upon deployment lines, remaining in control of about half of Gaza. Within 72 hours of Israel's retreat, Hamas will release the remaining hostages. Israel will also return a multitude of imprisoned Palestinians, but reportedly does not intend to release prominent detainees, including Palestinian leader Marwan Barghouti. So, okay. I mean, Hamas is receptive. Conspiracy theories aside, anything that will stop the killing is good in my book for now. And maybe not anything, but at the moment, I would be glad if there were just no killing. That would be great. I don't have any other opinion other than that. I don't think I even... am entitled to any opinion other than that. I mean, I'm not a citizen of either Israel or Palestine. The U.S. is allied with Israel. They have been feeling the pressure. The media, the campaign has worked, right? And it's actually made Israel more amenable to, like, Netanyahu apologized to the president of Qatar, I think, the other day for something. And then it's just like his rhetoric has to change, right? So it is. So I don't know. All I know is I would like the babies to not be exploded. That would be great. Can we start there? I don't know. Is that too much to ask? Can we start with the baby hospitals not being blown up? That would be great if we could do that. Can we agree on that? All right. I don't know. More on that some other time. We're going to close this out. We're going to say national news. You know, this is basically in theme with what I've been talking about. Federal authorities arrested a man suspected of starting the Palisades fire in Los Angeles in January, which became the most destructive wildfire in Los Angeles history. The suspect is charged with destruction of property by means of fire and faces a minimum of 5 years in federal prison. That's crazy. 29-year-old Uber driver. That's who this guy was, who allegedly started the fire in California. He had earlier used ChatGPT to generate a dystopian painting showing, in part, a burning forest and a crowd fleeing from it. So, See, so using ChatGPT for his little fantasy about doing what he was going to do, showing a burning forest and a crowd fleeing from it. So I guess this guy kind of didn't have any, he probably didn't have any political motivation. And that's what I'm saying, is that most people don't. Most people just feel the vibes flowing through society. They pick up on it and they start to get antsy. They start to have anxiety fantasies and disturbing dreams about things, and their brains start going into that weird, you know, place, like the Bacchae, like Euripides is the Bacchae, where you start going insane and you start seeing shadows on the wall and you think that something's going to happen, but you don't know what, and you start freaking out. I think more sensitive people are people with, you know, mental health conditions and stuff, and they feel it and have less self-control. And so they act on it more often than a person who is not in a vulnerable position with whatever, stress, anxiety, whatever. So I think this guy is like that. I don't think this guy is, like free Palestine guy. I think this is just some fucking guy. I mean, Uber drivers, you know, this New Yorker article about an AI caste system in the future is hilarious, because the reality is that caste system has started. That caste system has begun. And it started with gig economy workers. Everybody who fell for that shit got trapped in a cycle of poverty that now they can't get out of. And anybody who falls for it now, same thing. They just get sucked into this vortex of poverty that basically is perpetrated by the tech company that they're working for. And they're using it. They're using it to keep them that way. They're to maximize profits. And they're using AI and they're using algorithms to basically gamify a laborer's day's work, gamify it so that this worker is reduced to a high stress environment when they're unable to take a long view on their life. They're always stuck in these marginal, you know, short-term decisions, left, right. Do I go here? Do I go there? Is this worth it? Is that worth it? They shorten your perspective right down to just the decision that you have right in front of your face. And that way you're never able to take a step back and actually look at whether or not this is worth doing, whether or not you're being played, whether or not you're being underpaid, whether or not you deserve more rights, whether or not you should unionize, whether or not you should maybe just go home and call your parents and have them help you, or anybody really. And they get stuck in this life. And I know a couple of people that became Uber drivers, and you know, it's always combined with something else. They usually have some kind of substance abuse problem. A lot of them have mental health issues. A lot of them come from fucked up homes. They're like those kind of people. They're underdog people, real underdog people. Nobody gives a fuck about underdogs, not in real life. That's why we like them in the movies, because if you can root for an underdog in the movie, it makes you feel like you have humanity. But you don't give a shit about your Uber driver. And you see them. You see the tattoos. You see the look. You see the gaunt face. Or you see the back, the dark rings under the eyes. You know what's going on. And you look the other way. That's what we all do. I do it too. I look at a fucking chick, you know, and I had an Uber driver the other night. And clearly, problems. And I just stared at my phone the whole time. I stared at my fucking phone like a life, like it was a life preserver, until I got to where I was going to go. And then I left the car. And you just kind of do that. But these people are drowning, and they're drowning in public, and nobody cares. So for a guy to just start a fire in Malibu, I wouldn't say it's like a political ideology that motivated him, but maybe it was just life. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just that, what Edgar Allan Poe called the imp of the perverse, right? That little demon voice that inside of you, that when you look over the edge of a cliff, it's something in you is going, why don't you jump, right? Why don't you jump? Or something like that. Or why don't you smack that guy in the face? That little voice. Like, wouldn't it be funny if I just pushed that guy into a train? You know what I mean? Like, people, that little voice exists in everybody's head, and it's stronger in some than others, because some of us, especially if you grew up in a fucked up home, you know, you basically grew up in a haunted house. It's a haunted house, haunted by your family, who are just phantoms of themselves. They're just so wrapped up inside themselves that they may as well just be haunting the place that you grow up with them. And that shit, you know, echoes into your adulthood, and the voices follow you, and it's hard. And it's hard when you're working for Uber and you got little voice in you, and then you're fucking taking drunk people home, and it's like people blowing each other in the back seat and doing coke, saying all kinds of crazy shit out loud, and you're just driving them to the airport or whatever. It's 4 a.m, red eye flight. And you're just like, yeah, I got to do it. This is when you make the most money. Uber drivers. I get it. I get it. And I openly say I get it, because I'm tired of hearing people who speak in the news, like these talking heads, who always act like they have no fucking conception of how someone would kill a healthcare CEO. They have no idea how you could be pro-Palestine or pro-Israel. They have no idea how you could celebrate the death of the... They don't know how you could be happy about fucking Donald Trump getting almost shot. You don't get it? You don't get it, really? Are you a human being? Are you a human being? Are you just some fucking hypocrite acting good? You little goody good asshole. That's not true. I don't believe it for a second. We're all both, okay? Nobody's like evil or good. That shit is in you, both of it. Both of it's in there, fighting. It's like Solzhenitsyn said, the line between good and evil runs right through the middle of everybody's heart. That's it. Huh? That was deep, right? But we got to stop. If you want to fix this, we have to stop acting like we don't know where this is coming from. That's what I say. But the media is never going to do that. And I get it, because, you know, if a talking head said that they kind of get it, it would just be misconstrued and it would be misinterpreted, and nothing would get accomplished with that. There would be no conversation. There would be no confession that we're all a little freaked out right now about what's going to happen. And if you're not freaked out, you're probably one of those creeps in Silicon Valley. You're a fucking creep. You think you know. Your arrogance is blinding you to what everybody else is seeing. That's what I think. I don't think we're ignorant. I think you know too much to know better. That's it. That's where we're at. So, you know, I mean, we're fucking, we're apes. We're apes. We're constantly fighting the fact that we're apes. And we're also constantly fighting the fact that we know we're apes. We're always denying it or ignoring it, looking the other way. Meanwhile, our ape selves are always kind of intruding, right? Farting, making weird noises. Woo! Ha 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 ha. Huh? You're an ape. Embrace it. Know it. Feed it. Feed it acorns or whatever apes eat. We're fucking apes, dude. And we have to stop acting like we don't understand violence just to make ourselves look good in front of other people. Because until we can do that, the madness is only going to increase, because there's always this group of people here that try to act like everything's fine, everything's copacetic, we're all really good people. Fundamentally, we're really good people. We're not. We're not fundamentally good people. Being good takes work. Being good takes, this is like Jordan Peterson, being good takes work, eh? You got to fix your bed, eh? Oh, ah, oh, ah. That's him now because he's in the hospital. All right, I'm just kidding. I actually really like Jordan Peterson in general. I mean, I like a lot of people. But I think he's cool. I mean, I don't know if I like. I think I found some kind of empathy for him watching his career and people like demonize him. I think I just felt something about that mostly. But, you know, he's just a fucking guy. All right. And we're just a bunch of apes. So let's see. So this guy, the investigators allege that the Uber driver who set fire in the Palisades in Los Angeles, Rindernecht, maliciously started what became the Lachman fire. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Any motive? The Uber driver, who was a Palisades resident before relocating to Florida, had been working as an Uber driver on New Year's Eve and returned to the Pacific Palisades after his evening shift. Two passengers told law enforcement he appeared agitated and angry that night. See? And they didn't reach out to him. They didn't say, hey, guy, you're okay? You know, what's going on? Hey, you know, you need to talk or something. I mean, I get it. I get why you wouldn't want to do that. If a person seems crazy, I mean, why would you want to put yourself in that position? I get that. Especially if he's in the driver's seat and you're in the car. But anything? Let's see. Yeah, so he generated this ChatGPT image. Minimum 5-year federal prison sentence if convicted. Maximum penalty of up to 20 years. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, they don't have they're not really sharing a motive. I don't think the guy really had a motive. I'm looking at a picture of him. I mean, he so looks like the guy that would be an Uber driver for, you know, in high school. You know what I mean? He looks like he looks like a Albanian goth guy. Anyway. All right. Well, that's the news. That's all the time we have today. That has been the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for Monday when I come back with another episode. And until then, I was Melissa Diaz. This was the Melissa Diaz Report. But now, I'm out. See you later. Bye.